The following is a production of Different Brains. Visit us at differentbrains.org.
Hello, and welcome to Spectrumly Speaking. I'm Haley Moss, an attorney, author, artist, and I'm autistic. Today, as usual, I'm joined here by my very wonderful co-host.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Butts. I'm a psychologist and an attorney.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How about yourself?
I am hanging in there. I'm working on book edits. And like before we started recording, I started to tell you that I get to talk to some really interesting people and I get to learn a lot of stuff. Right. So I just spoke to another psychologist and I learned so much today. So I am feeling pretty good.
That's exciting. It's always nice to learn something new.
I think that's the greatest privilege of what I do and even just being part of the Spectrumly team. And I know that we've been saying that we don't get to record enough, it feels like, but every single guest we have and everything that we do here, I feel like I learned so much. And I think one of the pleasures for me as a writer at this point too, is I get to learn from the people that I interview to make things better. So I come from the journalistic school of thought of if you don't know the answer to something, don't just guess.
Right.
And sometimes researching it isn't the best thing to do. So you should talk to somebody who is an expert or somebody who knows way more than you do in that subject and talk to them and kind of see what they think and what they're feeling and what is important in that field. So when I get to talk to a psychologist, they know way more about how certain things work for autistic people than I do. I don't know about how like an eating disorder or something else may interact because that's not an experience I have, but a psychologist might have more insight on that, especially if they specialize in working with autistic people who say have eating disorders or something.
But you also have the life experience. So some of us psychologists who are not neurodiverse can learn a lot from you. So as long as everybody's listening, you know, there's a lot to learn from each other. That's for sure.
Absolutely. And I think there's certain experiences that I don't have either. Like even when I was talking to this expert, she's working on a book as well, is that she wants to talk more about like young adults, like learning independent skills. And I'm like, well, I am a young adult on the spectrum who has some independent skills. So you would hope at this point in my life, but you would hope, but there are certain things as I learned today when talking to her that I learned a lot from because I didn't have all those skills or I didn't think about those skills as skills that you learn. So I did learn something. And I also learned about how different issues affect autistic people too. So it was pretty exciting for me.
Well, now we're doing an exciting episode to learn a lot from our guest here today.
Absolutely. So I guess without any further ado, we should get started and we should introduce our wonderful listeners to somebody really, really cool. And all of us will get to learn something new today too. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
So today, our guest is Kim Hing. Kim is an adult autism and mental health self-advocate. Kim was diagnosed with Asperger's in her 40s. Although she has struggled with major depression since her early teens, she wasn't diagnosed until her 30s. She is an active Special Olympics athlete and global messenger. Kim currently teaches second graders in an after-school program. Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I'm really excited to be here today.
We're excited to have you too. So our listeners can learn a little bit more too. Can you share with us how you became involved in the autism community?
Well, it started because I was been really struggling my entire life with all kinds of things that are because I'm autistic, but I didn't know it. And so, yeah, I got diagnosed in my 40s, and that just made things start to make sense for me about why I struggled so much. And then I got involved with Special Olympics. And now I'm a Different Brains intern.
Can you tell us about how you started with the Special Olympics?
Yeah, I had a friend who was doing Special Olympics and she said, come join the basketball. And I'm like, can I do that? And she's like, yeah, you can. So I started off in Special Olympics on the basketball team. And on our second practice, I promptly broke my ankle. So that was not much of a season for me. I sat on the sidelines the entire time for the basketball season. And so our team did go to the championships. I don't know if that was because I wasn't playing on it, because I'm a very beginner and just learning the skills. So that's how I started with Special Olympics. And then I just got more involved and tried more and more sports. I learned about bocce. I had never heard about bocce, and I found that I really liked bocce. And then I did bowling and floor hockey and tried basketball again and tried soccer. I did track and field and just really have been exploring all the different sports that I really had a ball aversion when I was growing up, because balls and me just did not get along.
Me neither. I had never been an athlete before, so this is absolutely fascinating and exciting to me.
What's really great about Special Olympics is it doesn't matter what your skill level is, because we have some super, super skilled athletes, and then we have athletes that are just learning the sports, and it's all done by divisioning. So the super skilled athletes are in their division, and then those who are learning the skills are in a different division. So you're competing and playing with people that are the level that you're at, and nobody makes fun of you or anything like that. If you're having difficulties, everyone just encourages each other and helps you learn how to play and the skills involved. And one of the really wonderful things about Special Olympics is no one is left on the sidelines unless you break your ankle, because
that makes sense. In that case, I would hope that they helped you get medical attention.
Well, I did go to the doctor the next day, and they took an x-ray, and I found out it was broken. But yeah, one of the rules of Special Olympics is everyone plays. So yeah, everybody in competitions, everybody plays. So it's a lot of fun.
How often do you train for? Is it a year-round thing where you're training?
Yeah, they have sports year-round, and we have different seasons. So yeah, there's basketball is in the winter. And then after basketball, there's three sports. There is swimming, tennis, and track and field. Oh, and bocce as well. And then in the summer, there's softball. And then in the fall, there's bowling and soccer. And then after that is floor hockey. Of course, it depends on where you live, because some areas have other sports and other areas don't have those sports. I hear that on the East Coast, they actually have equestrian and sailing, which is way cool.
I believe Special Olympics Florida has kayaking or paddle boarding. I think it might've been paddle boarding, because I tried to get involved with Special Olympics a while ago, and they mentioned they had some kind of water sport. I think it might've been paddle boarding. I'm not 100% sure, but I just remember thinking, oh my God, that sounds so cool. But also I'm scared.
They provide all the equipment too. So you could go ahead and try it. And I'm sure they have lifeguards. So they will rescue you if you fall off, maybe. Or maybe they'll just wait to see if you can get back up on your board on your own. I don't know. We don't have paddle boarding.
Can I also ask what bocce is? Because I've heard of it, but I don't quite know what it is. And I think I might not be the only one who's secretly wondering the answer to that question.
Okay. Bocce is... you have balls. Yeah, there goes my ball aversion. But there's a little ball called a polina, and it's like the size of a golf ball. And that gets thrown out first. And then you have these big balls that are the size of softballs. And you throw those balls out and you try and get them as close to that little ball as possible. But if another team's ball is really close, you can take your ball and try to hit their ball out of the way. And then whoever's ball is closest to the polina, that team gets to have all their balls that are closer to the polina than the other teams. And that gets part of your score. And so then there's certain amount of rounds, depending on how much time is. So it's like time-based. I don't know how much time it is, maybe 20 minutes. And then the team with the most points wins.
That is really cool. So I guess my next question is, about Special Olympics as well, is you're a global messenger, and yes. What is a global messenger, and what led you to become one?
A global messenger is an athlete leader, and I went to a training they teach you how to be a speaker for Special Olympics. And as a speaker, I can go talk to schools about inclusion and getting students without disabilities interested in playing sports with students that have disabilities on the unified teams, which are teams that have disabled people and non-disabled people playing together. And also, I could go to talk to, say, Rotary clubs to encourage them to volunteer their time for Special Olympics. I could talk to companies to encourage them to donate money or in-kind services and to also volunteer. And then I just did something that was so cool. And the first time I've ever done it is last week we had Capitol Hill Day. And that meant we were lobbying Congress to support Special Olympics with funding.
Wow, can you tell us a bit about what that experience was like?
It was virtual this year. Ordinarily, people go to actual Congress and meet with representatives and senators and staff people to try and get their support. What is amazing is Special Olympics is nonpartisan and has strong support for both Republicans and Democrats. I'm not sure, but I think it may be one of the very few bipartisan things that Congress helps. And so, because it was virtual, a lot more athletes were able to participate, and we were able to talk to probably a lot more people in Congress. Usually, in our area, only one person, one athlete can go. But because it was virtual, more of us could go because we didn't have to pay the expenses of sending somebody to Washington, D.C. So, we had training in different things, so the different things we were supposed to talk about to encourage for the funding, and then also how to do a Zoom meeting with a representative. So I talked to staff people from congressional members in the House of Representatives from California. And we were looking for funding for two things, which is the Healthy Athletes Program and the Unified Champion Schools program. And they were all very, very supportive. And I believe we should get the funding that we're asking for, which is exciting.
Wow. Were you nervous in these meetings and preparing for them? Were you?
I was not nervous while preparing for them. The first day for the first meeting, I was a little nervous, but then after that, it was fine. After the first meeting, then I knew what to expect. And so it was okay.
Did they say whether or not they think in the future, even after the pandemic, that they'll do more of the Zoom meetings? Because it seems like it's more, you get more accessibility, like you talked about, to be able to lobby for your things. Did they say in the future they are thinking about continuing this, where so it, they reduce the expenses of traveling there?
The impression that they'll go back to in person. Many people were expressing they can't wait to go to DC once the pandemic is over.
Interesting. Would you go to DC?
If I got chosen, sure, in a heartbeat.
That's excellent.
That is so cool. So you mentioned earlier that you're actually an intern for Different Brains. And for those of you who may or may not be aware of this, and I'm sure that if you've listened to an episode of Spectrally before, you do know this, but our show is produced by the folks at Different Brains, and we're very lucky to have them. And Kim is one of their interns. So can you tell us a little bit about your experience and what you do as a Different Brains intern as well?
I found out about Different Brains because Dr. Hacky Reitman was a speaker at the Stanford Neurodiversity Projects. What was it? I forget what it was called. It was a summit where they brought in speakers from all different types of speakers about neurodiversity. And he was one of the speakers. I thought he was outstanding, and he talked about Different Brains, and I thought, I gotta get on that. I gotta become an intern from that. I was really excited about the things that Different Brains does. So I contacted Different Brains, and they let me be an intern. I'm learning a lot. I'm on the grant committee, so I'm learning a lot about grants and what's involved. I'm hoping that I'll be able to help out editing one of the books that Different Brains is working on. I'm going to be learning editing for podcasts and different videos. So yeah, I'm doing a lot with Different Brains. I could do a lot more, but you have to manage your other outside special, outside Different Brains activities and work.
That makes a lot of sense. It sounds like you are a very busy person.
Yes, I am, I think.
I don't know what more you could do. It sounds like you've done everything at Different Brains.
No, there's lots. I could get involved with the research committee or the special events committee, or there's all kinds of things going on with Different Brains. Yes, it sounds like you're really busy too. Both of you. I mean, Dr.
Butch, I think I just have fun.
And an attorney, and you're an attorney, an artist, and an author. So everybody's busy.
Good point, Kim. Good point.
We are. I think it's a great point, since we're all apparently busy. It's a great time to talk for our segment about Special Olympics. So we already discovered that Special Olympics is really, really cool. We learned a lot from Kim about that in our interview section. And in our segment, we're also going to be talking about why the sports and camaraderie they allow can be really good for us psychologically. So everyone is welcome to jump in whenever they want. So I happen to think Special Olympics is really cool. The first time that I got involved is Special Olympics Florida had an athlete recognition dinner for their athlete leaders. And I got to present one of the athletes with an award. I had a great time. It was all the big corporate people at this dinner, pretty much. It was a big gala. It was so much fun. And then every time it's like, do you want to come help our youth leaders and all stuff? I'm like, yeah, I want to do stuff, but I'm not an athlete and I'm scared about that. And then the more time that's gone by and the more that I've learned about Special Olympics and the more that Kim taught us, I'm like, oh, it doesn't matter that I'm like not very good at sports. And I guess I always shied away from sports because I was never athletic, and my athletic career personally ended when I was maybe 6. So a fun story is I used to ride horses, and wow. I know this isn't something I usually talk a lot about, but I was doing hippotherapy. I did shows. I was actually kind of good at horseback riding, apparently. So I did shows and all that stuff, and I was training, and the horse got spooked. I think there was like a car that drove by or something happened. And in the process of like getting thrown off, my arm got caught in the rein.
Oh, and just scary.
That was, and I broke my arm and had emergency surgery, and I was too scared to ever get back on. And then
when
I was in high
school, to get right back on after you fall off, isn't
that? I was 6 years old. I was scared out of my mind.
But Kim's right. That is the saying.
That is the saying. But when you're 6 and you just go through an emergency surgery, and then you're having physical therapy and all this stuff, because it's just like, oh my God, you're like, yeah, maybe not.
Okay, well, now you're an adult and maybe you can try again.
Yeah, I think it's been about 20 years now. So maybe it is coming up to time to try again.
Yeah, I think so.
Did I ever tell you about when I tried out for the rowing team when I was in high school?
No.
So they had like a summer training camp for the rowing team, and I signed up for training camp because I'm like, I should probably do a sport. That's like the good thing to do when you're in high school. Like, everyone joins a sport. That's how I'm going to make friends. And like, you know, like, okay. So I go to the summer training camp. They teach you like how to like strength train. You use like the erg to like build your upper body strength, because contrary to popular belief, I think it's a lot of leg strength and upper body strength that you need. Like rowing, you get in really good shape. Oh my God. And the first day on the water, they hand us the oars, they put us in the boats and everything. And, you know, this is South Florida and it is the middle of the summer and it is really, really hot out. So we get past our first day on the water and I passed out. So
literally?
That was kind of, I passed out.
Oh my God.
When we got back to like the boathouse, and that was kind of the end of my athletic career.
Well, you,
I did not join the team.
You could join Special Olympics and choose one of these wonderful sports. They'll teach you how. And Special Olympics, you know, everybody helps each other. Mm-hmm. So you could definitely join Special Olympics, Haley.
I think I should. And I think what I really like about Special Olympics and what you've been telling me is how everybody cheers each other on. So I always thought of sports as just being super, super competitive and everyone's kind of in it for themselves and their team. But Special
well,
Olympics
we
seems
are
very
competitive. Everybody wants a gold medal. Don't
of course.
We we
but
are
everyone's cheering each other on. It's not
oh,
like
definitely, yeah.
That's
We
really
we go
exciting.
like when somebody when another team is playing, we go and watch that other team's playing. So yeah, and you even make friends with people. I'm friends with a guy named Willie, and he's from San Francisco. And whenever we are like at summer games, we look for each other. Well, I don't always get picked to go to summer games, but and when I do get to go, we look for each other. Or at the bocce tournament, we look for each other. Or track and field, he's this really he's nonverbal or very little verbal, but it doesn't matter. We're like, hey Willie, that's what I do. Hey Willie, and he's like oh, and he like waves and. It doesn't matter that he doesn't speak much. We still can communicate and have a great time. So you can make friends with people from all over the place. Right now we have virtual programming because of the pandemic. We can't have sports in person. And one of the directors of our board, he's actually the vice chair of the board. He started a Wednesday evening Zoom call for athletes to keep us all connected. And what happens is a coach will interview an athlete and we get to know that athlete more, or an athlete interviews a coach or a staff member. And so we get to learn more about the coach and the staff member. And it started off that this was for the athletes just in like our county, but any athlete can join. And so now athletes from all over Northern California are in that call. So I've met and made friends with athletes that I never would have known before. Because of it. So it's a wonderful opportunity. And growing up, you know, I didn't have friends. And now with Special Olympics, I've made friends with coaches and staff. So it's just an awesome experience.
Hey, Dr. Butts, I think we could be referees because isn't that kind of like what judges and lawyers do anyway?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
We could be refs.
Yeah. You could be ref. You could take a training and you could ref basketball or be an ump for softball or be a ref for floor hockey. So if you want to do that, you could. Dr. Butts, do you play a sport? You could be a coach. Even if you don't know much about the sports, they have training for coaches.
Interesting. I grew up playing soccer and I was going to say, you know, I still, you know, I'm old and I still.
Oh, you know, no. I'm looking at your picture here and you look very youthful.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you. But I still, I mean, when I'm with my girlfriends and I still have since we played, you know, soccer as little kids, we still talk about our times at soccer. And we were on a travel team and those are some really of the best memories I have from my childhood. I played three sports all through school, but soccer was my main sport. And to this day, you know, we remember our tournaments. We remember fun, you know, it bonds you for your lifetime. It really does.
We'd love to have you as a coach.
Thanks, Kim. Thanks. I have a funny story about that. My mom was a marathon runner. She knew nothing about soccer. And my soccer team, the coach that had signed up had to drop out for some reason. And my mom was like, I'll coach. And I bought her a book. I was probably 7 or 8. And I bought my mom a coaching book for soccer. And she coached and we wound up being in the championship, but the championship was the day of her marathon. So literally she ran a marathon and like ran to the field and that was it. So that was another, you know, sporting memory in my life. So sports was so important.
Your mom is a superhuman after running.
Yes.
I can't run. I definitely could not run a marathon. So to
neither
do that,
can I.
Go coach it.
Yeah, she's run several marathons. And actually, she's almost 80 now. And she got her second COVID vaccine shot. And the day after, she lives in Colorado. She went skiing. You know, everybody saying that they get sick and have fever. Not my mom and her husband, both of them. They got their second vaccine shot and spent the whole next day skiing on the slope. So they're pretty incredible.
Well, that sounds like fun. I didn't know skiing was open because of the pandemic.
Yes. Yes, it is. They have, you know, they have social distancing and that kind of thing, but yeah, it's open.
Well, that's great. I like skiing. We used to have snow sports but we don't have enough funding in our area to have snow sports, so we haven't had them in years. And
Yeah, it's expensive.
I'd really like to have enough funding so that we could have them again.
Yeah, that's a very
That's why you're lobbying. Hopefully that we can get y'all more money to have snow sports.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the funding is for healthy athletes and Unified Champion Schools program. So it isn't actually for doing the sports. Healthy Athletes is this way cool program where they provide some health screenings for athletes. So for instance, I got my eyes tested and they gave me prescription sports goggles and new glasses. The dental program gave me a mouth guard.
Oh,
Podiatrist looked
wow.
at my feet. Physical therapist checked my flexibility and gave me stretches to do to improve it. And I got all of that for free.
Wow,
So
that's
they even
awesome.
have hearing screenings, which I haven't had yet, but I believe they'll even help you get hearing aids if you need them. So that's the Healthy Athletes program. And a lot of intellectually disabled people don't get the health care that they need. It's just not they some athletes have difficulty communicating, and so people just don't realize that this person is in pain. They might have abscesses in their teeth, or they could have something going on that maybe they do have a hearing, problem, and they just can't hear, and their care providers just think they're being stubborn. So these healthy athlete screenings are really important.
Really important. Wow, that's so wonderful.
And then the Unified Champion Schools program is all about connecting general ed students with the special ed students. I think general ed students really need to learn more about special ed students. It helps dispel the stereotypes and original perceptions that they probably have. And everybody likes to play sports, so it's a good way that they can learn about each other and then become friends. Also, it really helps, like 90% of the teacher liaisons feel that it reduces bullying, teasing, and use of offensive language in the whole school. And 97% of them said that the program creates a more socially inclusive school environment. And that is just so awesome that I wish that had been around when I was in school.
Yeah, that's really awesome. That's so amazing. Wow.
They also have part of the Unified Champion Schools program is an they have these clubs, leadership clubs. So even if you, let's say you're not going to participate in sports, you could get involved with the, in the club, and they have leadership opportunities for both the special ed students and the general ed students in the club. And they put on all kinds of events during the school, dances, rallies. They'll have an inclusion week, and each day they'll have different activities planned out for it. So it's really for getting everybody in the whole school involved.
I think that's really powerful, is that we're really just moving towards this place of inclusion. And I'm glad to see it in sports and in schools. And it starts young. I feel like it's starting younger and younger, which is great. And it just makes me happy to see.
It's a really great movement because, like Kim said, unfortunately it wasn't around before. And the more we can model inclusivity for the kids and the less bullying and the more people feel accepted, the better their self-esteem is and the more, risks they're willing to take and try more things out. And it just builds on itself so that people can be healthier and happier and have more fulfilled lives.
And because they're learning these things when they're kids and young people, teenagers, well, they're gonna become adults, and then hopefully as adults we'll become a more inclusive society.
Absolutely. And I think that's the perfect note to wrap up this discussion on, is this note of that we are going towards a more inclusive society, and sports and things that build community in schools at young ages and at all ages. And even realizing what you've been saying is, even as adults, we're able to get involved in sports, either as Special Olympics athletes, or we could be coaches, or even for Dr. Butts and I, we could be referees if we felt so inclined.
Oh no, athlete,
So
Kelly, you're going to be an athlete.
I'm gonna try. You know what? I feel inspired. I think I might have to try to be an athlete, but if I realize that being an athlete still isn't something I'm exactly great at, or I don't feel very encouraged because I don't, I'm just not a good athlete.
No, we have divisions. We have, you know,
okay. I'll go with the newbies. I'll learn.
Kim's not letting you get away with anything.
She's not letting me get away with being a ref.
Nope.
So I guess I will have to find a sport, and perhaps I will have to go paddle boarding because I think that's an offering.
I think you should do bocce.
Try bocce.
Bocce.
Oh, okay. So you know what?
Bocce can be indoors and air conditioning probably in Florida.
So. Oh, that's even better. Yep. So I guess if we do convince me to and keep, hold me accountable when things are safer that we can go play bocce, then I'm sure we will have you back and we will have a long discussion about Haley's adventures with bocce.
Okay. That sounds good. Or Haley, you could even do track and field because you could do the standing long jump or the softball throw. You could do the 100-yard run, or if you'd rather walk, you could do the 400 walk or the 800. So I do the 800 and the mile walk. So yeah, you could even walk if you want.
Oh my God. That's awesome. Okay. Yep. I'm sold. I will walk.
All right, Kim, you drive a hard bargain over here. You're good.
You're selling me on.
You're going to be the soccer coach. You have a lot to offer.
See, I'm not the only one who has to do something. Kim is riding us.
Kim,
she is the best accountability. She's the best accountability buddy I think I could ever ask for.
I no wonder these House of Representatives were so willing to give money. Look at Kim.
Look at Kim. She got both of us involved in about like 20 minutes.
She does not take no for an answer. That's for sure.
I love it.
I love it too, Kim. I love your enthusiasm. That's awesome. It's really
cool.
It's truly contagious.
I'm stubborn. So
your enthusiasm is contagious. And I think that you may end up inspiring somebody else to sign up. So how can we learn more about you or get in touch with you or just find out more about what you're up to as well?
You can find out more about me. Let's see. How can you find out more about me? I don't think you can find out more about me. Don't have a internet presence.
Should we just find you through our friends at Different Brains?
Yeah. You could contact Different Brains, I guess.
Perfect. So I think we had a really, really lively and exciting discussion, and Kim has motivated us. I hope she has motivated you. Or gotten you nearly as excited about inclusion and sports and other cool things as much as Dr. Butts and I have been. And be sure to check out differentbrains.org and check out their Twitter and Instagram at diffbrains. And don't forget to look for them on Facebook. If you're looking for me, I could be found at Haley Moss Art on all major social media, or you could visit me at my website, haleymoss.net.
I could be found at cfiexperts.com. Please be sure to subscribe and rate us on iTunes, and don't hesitate to send questions to spectrumlyspeaking@gmail.com. Let's keep the conversation going.
Spectrumly Speaking is a production of Different Brains. Visit us at differentbrains.org.